Episode 470, March 10th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
We were just in the middle of debating the Mount Rushmore of male rock vocalists. I think we clearly have Freddie Mercury and Robert Plant.
Yeah, I think they're the two easiest ones. What about Steve Perry? I know Robbie hates him because he was mean to Howard Stern, but he is a great vocalist.
He is. He's great.
And you mentioned Bob Seger.
It'd be hard for me to leave him off. And then I said Roger Daltrey. So there's five. Who are we forgetting, Robbie? The all-timers.
What are some of the all-classic rock bands? I mean, Rolling Stones.
I wouldn't have him in. I mean, he's a great... I'd have him on a Mount Rushmore frontman, but not vocalists.
We're not counting Bruce Springsteen, right?
I wouldn't have him on there either as I mean, songwriter, sure.
Right, but not as some elite vocalist.
Meatloaf.
Yeah, the problem is the catalog, Robbie. That You know what I mean?
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, if you're just talking about vocals...
No, he's a great vocalist, but again, I only know three songs of his.
What about any of these hair bands?
Yeah, there are some great voices in these hair bands. Rob Halford.
Yeah.
But
Vince Neil, he's got a good voice.
I wouldn't put him. But yeah, I mean, those guys do have
Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler I would not have in there, but he is a great vocalist. He's
a
great frontman. I wouldn't have him above the ones we've mentioned. Benchwarmer said Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
good.
Know. Not, it wouldn't
I know
make
you're
it.
Not a fan of the bands.
No, that's not true.
You don't
I
like
am
Black
a fan.
Hole
I
Sun.
Don't like the song Black Hole Sun. Other than that, but he is a great vocalist. He's I'm not putting him above the ones we just mentioned.
Hey, look, Matt Colby went into chat last night. He goes, I'm just reading the post that the show is tomorrow.
Hey, he made it.
He also, we were talking about our day jobs. He hates his day job. I said, I do too. And he goes, oh, you hate defrauding the government. It must be tough. I do not defraud the government. That's the only good part of my job.
That's it, your favorite part, yes. So welcome to the show. We just recorded the boner show, and I think it's a particularly delicious one.
Yeah, Robbie said it because there's a lot of shit in there that
you
can't hear in real life. And although we open up with talking about the coronavirus for no reason. Sorry about
that. Hey, just a little tease. One of us has the coronavirus. Check out the boner show.
There's some great Gramps history in there and little bonus piece from Justin that you're never going to hear anywhere else.
Yes. Yeah. It's... That Gramps is not going to like.
Oh, he's going to be.
He's not going to like it. He's
is
not.
Disgusted? Or is it, will he be disappointed in Justin?
Yeah, he will be.
Okay.
He won't get it. He won't get it.
You're telling me that whatever he thinks of Justin today, once he hears that, he will think less of him as a human being.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
He'll think less of him, and he won't. I don't believe he'll. He'll fail to see the humor in it.
Imagine just for $5 you could hear all of what we're talking about in every other boner show. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that what you can really do, what we really want people to support what we do.
Because
you can actually pay $5 and listen to, like, every show,
you
right?
You can.
It's basically like 1 cent a show at that point.
Well, yeah, something like that.
Come on.
But most people now are committed to hanging in there with us. And you really want to hear some really good stuff about Joe's early, early comedy.
Yes. Maybe your first time you ever crushed. Not on stage, but at least with an audience, sort of.
Yeah.
An unwilling audience, but check it out.
Speaking of that, I did comedy last Thursday for the first time in over a year.
You know, that's good because I was going to segue right into that. So we're in sync today, Joe. Yeah, we talked about it last week that you were going to MC our show at the Ramshead on stage. Tommy Cimbazzo headlining. Crushed it, of course. And how you would do. And I believe I think the barometer was you weren't going to bomb. But were you going to do B plus? Was that where we had it?
Yeah, I think I did like a C plus, B minus.
No, I think you hit the B plus.
You think?
Well, I'm grading it on you're the first going up first.
Yeah.
So there's that.
You know what? I will say this.
But they enjoyed you.
I have some really good premises that if I ever had a chance to work them out. You know what I mean?
I almost went with your one premise and started to work it out on stage this past weekend.
About the getting the number on the bar napkin?
Yeah.
You can have it.
Because you have some really good stuff in there. The headliner was touching on a couple things that were in that realm, so I decided, because we actually talked about that in the green room.
Right.
And I felt it would be weird then if I started working that out. So I decided I'll wait till next week.
So here's the premise, Robbie. I'll tell it to you. It's that how difficult it is to... How difficult it was to date versus how easy it is now.
To right? start the dating.
To
get a phone number.
Right, just to even get the phone number, because you couldn't, who went to a bar with a pencil and paper? Nobody, or pen and paper, you didn't.
Right, and the phone number was not their cell phone, it was their phone, depending on their age, they lived at home with their parents.
Yes, and everybody at the time when I was doing that, when I was dating, that's where they lived.
Yes.
And I had to get a number, and the only piece of paper that was available was a bar napkin, and so every number you had... was on the most fragile, vulnerable piece of paper that you could, and anything you couldn't, it couldn't have rained, it couldn't rip,
right.
It couldn't,
you couldn't have
wash
put it
those
in the wash.
Pants, nothing, and then, of course, I also talked about that, you know, it was one take when you called somebody.
Well, that's if you get to them, you have to dodge the parents, the dad.
Or the roommate.
Yeah.
Who you don't know, and
right.
then if they don't call back, you don't know if it's a shitty roommate, or if they don't like you, and if, depending on... You're like, well, what risk am I able to take? How much is my dignity worth for me to call back and go,
sure,
did this roommate give you this message? Because they could say, yeah, I got it.
That's true. And then there's the voicemail. I mean, if you do you botch it? Because once it's going, you're in it.
That's true. And all and you can't, even if you're talking to them live, it's better than a voicemail.
Yes.
But even live, it's one take. Ring, hello, go. That's it, right? So so that was the idea. And
there were probably millions of cases where a guy ruined his chances with a woman just for choking on that first initial talk.
Yes. Initial voicemail.
Uh-huh.
I remember hearing on Seinfeld where George Costanza would write down notes.
Yes.
Of what he was. Of course, that's Larry David, obviously.
Right.
But take down, like, here's what's interesting things that I'm going to say. Here's what's funny.
But you brought up the point. You can now, when you text, you can, obviously, you don't send right away. You can add emojis.
There's
all these things you can
do. Whatever you want to do. A GIF, a GIF, whatever you call it. Yeah,
it's probably unfair to women, actually, because now a guy can make himself seem cooler than he really is.
Yes, but I also said that, and that's the other thing. I mean, the picture you use. By the way, the picture that was on the poster for this show, it was from 2007.
Yeah, you look great.
Of me, right. So it's 13 years old.
Hey, you know what? Some of those jokes were from 2007, too.
Some of them were,
You've been developing that joke since the Bethesda High.
No, not. I used to tell a joke about dating online versus dating, but the idea now of the actual possessing the number and you having one
you
opportunity.
You expanded on it. Because we've talked about this, that I've said that on stage, basically.
You're like, what's he going to do with it? I'll take
it. Right. Well, basically, I would say, and it's worked, but it needs to be fleshed out more than like we're talking. But basically, you used to have to get a girl's number where she lived with her parents. You had to call. You had to get through the dad. And eventually, you could talk to her. Now, you get her Instagram. Boom. There's your dick right there. She's
looking
at
all you need to know is a friend of hers.
Yes.
All you need to know is, oh, where do you work? Where do you go to college? You know, you find somebody.
It's a lot easier to stalk.
Easy to stalk, right? You know if they have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know what they like to do.
Absolutely.
Their hobbies, right?
It's
when they're
to...
available. What nights they go out.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different world. But you're right. You say it's unfair to women, but also women have become, I guess, liberated sexually. There's no slut shaming. So if they want to go out and pursue men, they're allowed to do that as well.
Absolutely. Hey, Katie. But you did a good job, Joe. You're shorting yourself.
Thanks, dude.
Clearly, it was a B+. It was a good show all the way around. We have a Well, not we. I guess you're on their show. I'm not. Tomorrow, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in length next week. I think this show had got moved because I think when it was the original date, I knew I couldn't make it. And that's why I never
well, I will
committed
say this,
to this.
I don't know, but you're also not in the Quiplash group.
No, I mean, I've played it
a couple times, but you know, when we go
I played
away,
it once for real. Another time we had a makeshift Quiplash, but I played it once in Syracuse with Sean Gabbert, Tommy, and Eric after a murder mystery one night.
When we go away to Brightbox, you usually don't stay.
That's true.
And we usually do.
Yes.
Everybody else basically
yes,
stays.
Yes, everybody else. Oh, well, not Robbie.
Robbie doesn't stay. Right. Robbie's usually jet-setting off with his girl, but and you don't stay. But everybody else, it's usually me, Sean, Justin, Tommy, Eric, and Katie.
Yes.
There's six of us. So it's a highly competitive game, Quiplash. We've talked about it on here. Mm-hmm. And now what they're doing is they're having an event where you go and you play Quiplash, and there's brackets. And
right.
In our bracket, my bracket, Katie's in my bracket, but everybody I normally play with is in that bracket, and I know that those are the best Quiplash players.
And it's not a one-on-one. It's eight for themselves.
Right.
And the top four advance, correct?
Yeah, so I'm in an extreme – listen, there's very funny people on the other side. Ryan Nezer, Violet Gray's on the other side.
Michael Furr is funny.
Yeah, Mike Quinlan. There's very funny people on the other side.
If we're forgetting, don't get mad.
Yeah, but I know the guys on my side, they are experts at this.
Yeah, they're not just funny.
They're just funny.
They're
funny.
Seasoned.
Yes, they know exactly what to say.
They're all former winners of this game.
And that's who I'm up against.
Yeah.
Even my wife, who's not a comic, is excellent at this.
She's great.
I can't have her beat me.
Well, that's what we're all rooting for.
That wouldn't bother me.
The other person that's on your side of the bracket is one Chris Restivo.
Yeah, and I think that was on purpose because he's probably going to take a lot in this game.
Well, there are some people that didn't want to play because of his presence.
That's a dumb thing.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, a lot of people, look, when Chris says the horrible, awful things he says, racist and homophobic things, which he claims aren't, some people rightfully get upset, and we can't take him seriously because he's Chris Restivo, so he almost, it almost helps, it's almost good that he says that, because if that's the face of a race,
yes,
of homophobia, that's good for those of us aren't, because it's like, look, do you want to be like that guy?
Right, no, yeah, and that's the thing, it's like, when you have a foil there, why would you not want to be, you don't want to be in his presence? This is an opportunity to say everything that you think about him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's going to take a beating in this thing.
But it's at the Ellicott Mills Brewing Company, which I believe is now bought by the Phoenix, which is another, they're going through a renovation. I know Gordon Ramsay is somehow involved in this downtown Ellicott City thing.
Is he important? Is he good?
He's going to play Quiplash.
Well, there's no sense in plugging it because this won't air by the time. This is tomorrow.
No, but we're going to talk about it a lot next week because I'm a little concerned that it might be too chaotic and crazy and it might get out of control.
What if it is?
You know what? You're right, because I'm not in it. I could just sit back and watch.
What's
the
worst thing that could
judge
happen? Yeah, we leave.
Do you think that Chris Restivo will be the worst competitor?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've heard Chris say some funny things.
Because you can't do impressions with this.
We heard a conversation, an argument that Chris recorded himself against versus somebody that works at a bar. And he actually held his own in that thing.
He did.
You know, if he's just shitting on people, maybe he'll be pretty good. But it's going to be a lot against a little. That's the problem. There's a lot of people that are going to be going after Chris.
Are you concerned that the people... Now, let me get this straight. When eight of you are playing, it's only you eight that are voting on the winning?
No, the whole bar's voting.
Okay, so are you concerned that the bar might feel bad for Chris if everyone's piling on?
No, because I'm not concerned with winning.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not concerned with that. My concern is making sure I get home in a reasonable hour, which is probably not conducive to winning.
If you had to pick, you had to bet on the winner, who would it be?
Justin.
All right. And by the way, even that's, you bet on the field, obviously, before you'd bet on one person.
So I will say that.
But Justin's going to be the most... The celebrity there.
Justin, Tommy, Eric, and me, we've won.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kate will tell you, I'll bet I've won the second most. I think Justin's won the most. But there are times where, you know, somebody catches fire and Eric wins like, you know, six or whatever.
You know who your second favorite should be?
Who?
Katie Robinson.
Well, Katie's good.
Women are going to be rooting for Katie.
They don't, but that's the thing. They don't know who wrote it.
That's true.
You don't know until afterwards. So you have to be.
Katie needs to put something in her text. In her,
this is
because you type it up.
Yeah,
some emoji or something.
Yeah, no, you're right. They will be. I think there's only two girls in it, right? Yeah. Well, there's a, what do you call them? A trans.
You just a guy that dresses like a woman.
That's it. Whatever that is. There's one of those two. One of those is in it.
Violet Gray.
I did look it up, and cross-dresser is acceptable.
Okay. But I don't know. I can look up a lot of things that say things. Who knows?
Well, this was an LGBT site.
Gotcha. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about a comic that's not acceptable in a lot of places that Robbie just saw his new special being taped. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Next performance, April 30th at the DC Improv. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show with Joe Robinson and Rob Mayer.
You got to see, was it the Warner Theater, Robbie?
Warner Theater.
Yes. You saw Louis C.K. perform, and it turns out that he was shooting his special there.
Correct.
And that is official, or you just could tell from the cameras and you figured it out? Because it wasn't announced beforehand. You didn't know that when you walked in the joint.
No, this was on the down low. Because as far as I know, he's not doing any other theater dates. This one was scheduled specifically for him to do a special for all the material he's been developing over the last couple of years in the clubs.
And he did two nights, two shows, or two nights, four shows?
He did two nights. He did Saturday night and Sunday night, and I'm assuming they're going to combine those two shows to put a special together. I don't know where it's going to show up, if it's going to be on his website, if it's going to be on Netflix.
Or whether you'll be on it or not, and a crowd shot of Robbie.
You saw Saturday night, Robbie, or Sunday?
We went Sunday. We did the second show.
Hmm.
He is as great as he's ever been. He is so on top of his game, and of course he addresses his problems, and that's one of the things that made me laugh the hardest.
Did he right off the top? Because when I work with him in Virginia Beach, right off the top, he was clearly talking about it.
You kind of have to, right?
You have to, yeah.
Yes, a little bit. Now, I'm sure you heard most of this material already.
Yeah.
So you heard him working all this stuff out. He did address it a little bit at the very beginning. You know, he alluded to it, but then he did a whole chunk about it later on in the set.
Same thing with you, Rob? Or...
Yeah, because he talked about dating a girl in France and stuff and getting away from all it. But one of the jokes he was doing with me was that, you know, which he obviously didn't do with you because it wouldn't make sense. You know, I used to do theaters. Now I'm here at the club in a strip mall. Yeah.
Is he apologetic? What does he do? Does he defend himself in any way, or is he just own it? What does he do?
He definitely owns it, but I don't want to give away too much of his stuff, but not that my delivery will be as good, but one of the funniest things he says is, you know, people always say when something like this happens, you find out who your real friends are. Well, let me tell you something. You don't want to find out who your real friends are.
Right. He's being defended by the Restivos of the world.
Right.
I understood. Yes.
So, and they confiscated your phone. You had to put it in the pouch thing. and all that?
They did not confiscate my phone because I just opted not to bring it in. Okay. But you had warned me about that. And, of course, we got the email ahead of time that, hey, you're going to put your phone in this pouch. And sure enough, man, they had it coordinated. It was not a problem to do it for everybody in that theater. They got everybody sorted out. And the minute you came out, they had all these little kiosks where you could just get it popped open and you dropped it in a basket.
Whoever came up with that idea, that's a moneymaker, whoever that company is that's putting that together.
All they need to do is reach out to every comedian who's jerked off in front of people, and they can make $1 million.
Well, no, they do it for other concerts and all kinds of other.
It occurred to me that only a big act like Louis C.K. can afford to pay for that kind of thing. I'm sure it's not cheap, right?
Well, once you own them, you own them. Right?
I know. I'm pretty sure.
No, it's a company you hire to do it.
I'm pretty sure the clubs were paying for it when I was working with them.
But interesting.
I don't.
As part of their whatever it is
they have to drop. It's probably not that much. It's probably.
How much were the tickets,
Robbie? $600-$700.
Well, I ended up paying for an upgrade to move up a little bit closer. They do that at the Warner. So in total, the tickets were just a little over $100 each.
Oh, nice. Wow. So I'm gonna Warner Theater capacity. I just want to know how much money he made. So almost 2,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, $100. He probably made $100,000 a night.
I made $1,000 at the Warner Theater with Tiffany Haddish there.
Yeah, was it sold out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both of his shows were sold out.
You are famous, Robbie, for writing long, angry emails for bad customer service, phone calls, complaining. So I want you to know what you would do in this situation. By the way, first of all, I did nothing, but a normal person would do something. So I'm on the other end of this, but I'm curious, and I want to get Joe's guessing how Robbie would handle this. I won't get into I'll tell the short version. Basically, I booked a flight to go to with a gig last summer in Oregon on Expedia, and I had Koechner had to cancel, so I had to cancel last minute. I ended up with a $350 credit from Expedia. The flight was a Delta flight, but the credit was with Expedia. It was my understanding that the credit was for the full credit. There wouldn't be a $200 change fee. We'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. So I finally go to book a flight. You know, I have a year to do it, so it's coming up. And I find the flight that I want to Phoenix in April, and I have to call Expedia. I get through pretty quickly. But this was a 2-hour-and-44-minute phone call. Where at about half hour in, the guy was saying just a few more minutes. And at one point I said, you keep saying that, and it's not true. So if you don't know how long, then don't. Then just say that.
He's just putting you on hold?
No. Worse, he's sitting there working in silence. I don't even have hold music.
How can they make money if they have somebody on the phone for 2 hours and one person?
He said he's working past his shift. Because at one point I was like, because I thought about just ending this. So I find the flight. First of all, he has to find my itinerary number. He has to, and that took forever. Okay, I got your credit. Then I find the flight, and he can't find it. I'm like, no, it leaves it. BWI,
right,
I'm
looking
Phoenix,
at it here, right?
It leaves at 9:37 a.m. or whatever the hell it is. He goes, it's not coming up. I'm like, I'm looking at your website. So whatever you have is, I'm assuming the same thing I have.
You want me to send you a link?
Yeah, I typed in round trip ticket. He goes, well, this isn't a round trip. You only do one way. I'm like, okay, but the flight's the same. There's no such thing as a round trip flight. There's a round trip ticket.
Right.
That flight
right.
is still leaving and going to that place. Yes. Okay. So he goes, okay, now I find it. And then, you can't use that because it's a different class of seating. I'm like, I just want the cheapest seat you got.
Yep.
I go, okay. He goes, how about another one you want? I said, why don't you just tell me the ones that I can use, okay? So he finds another one, which isn't as good, but that's fine. So finally, all right, set it up. We're halfway into this call. It goes on forever. Finally goes, okay, it'll be a $200 fee. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? But now I'm so into this.
Right.
And finally it's over. And he goes, well, we'll give you a notification in 24 business hours. This is Friday. So I figure Monday, right? Nothing Monday. So I have to call on now I'm back on the phone on Tuesday. I'm like, can I just start this over? Can I cancel this? Can I just book?
Right.
I just want out of this. And they finally found it, and they emailed me. But what do you do with this
situation,
Robbie?
Did you take the $200 fee?
Yes.
You ate there's nothing you could do.
Nothing I could do.
So it's like $150 is
exactly.
all that was applied to it.
For like basically 3 hours of my life.
Well,
with a shitty flight.
I'm gonna tell you what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I would do is gauge whether or not they would give a shit.
Right.
Right. So the first thing I do is I take it to Twitter. Because if you tag them in something.
Thought about that.
that's something they care about, especially you and I. You know, we got 3,000 plus followers. They, yeah. they care about that. That you that you
not reaching, a lot, but not a little.
Reaching that many mm-hmm. people and saying, and I would, of course, I would have more than happy to retweet it. Right.
Right.
Then they usually come in and go, "Hey, you're publicly shitting on us. We'd like to address it." Because you write them a letter.
Yeah.
I guess they don't care about losing one customer. They don't. Or they wouldn't have kept you no. on the phone no. for 2 hours and right. 44 minutes. No. And they wouldn't have, hold on, and they wouldn't have charged you the $200 if they thought they were worried about keeping your business, which they're not. So you got to hit them in the pocketbook where more than one person is involved. Go ahead, Robbie.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Okay. You're right.
Got it.
They don't care about one customer because that is a system that is designed for you to not use your credit.
Yeah. Oh, I got that loud and clear.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They act like I was calling to do this craziest thing ever.
Yeah, and how much is your time worth? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And 3 hours, you know.
Meanwhile, while I'm on hold, I'm booking my return flight on Southwest. It takes me 90 seconds.
Yeah, right. It's already booked.
Yes.
Right.
It's just so easy.
No, I think social media is a great way for you guys. It wouldn't work for me, but I would not ever use Expedia again.
No, I won't. You know? I might go there to look and see all the flights, but then I'll go to the airline directly to book it. Because at least then, they might screw you, but you'll get to somebody faster.
I usually go straight to Southwest.
Southwest is so much better. I mean, I flew down to Tampa and back, and I had...
And you're flying out of BWI?
Yeah, it was so easy. And then, I mean, maybe it was coronavirus, but it was the flights... You know, I had a whole row on the way back, and then on the way there, I had the middle seat was available, so it was just me and a guy, right next to each other. So it was super, easy.
Did you talk to the guy?
He was an old guy. We laughed a little bit. You know, I talked about I was going to cough and get a whole row to myself, and he goes, "Well, they're going to quarantine you." That was very Gramps vibe.
I was
going to
say when my dad was
there. You know what? This coronavirus, we mentioned this during your Ramshead set about talking about this. Every show in Tampa, I'm opening up with, "Tampa, we packed this place. We don't care about the coronas. Fuck the coronavirus." I put my hand out, a guy shakes it, and then I go, "That's how it spreads." It worked every time.
I did? That's
awesome.
And
I was like, this is such an easy way to immediately start killing.
Yeah, I walked out of my set, and I go out there, and I go, "Man, it was a bad idea to give up hand washing for Lent." Yeah. No,
nothing.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I also talked about jerking off Purell, and I got dirty, and just, you can eat off my dick, and then it gets really weird and stuff. Anyway, so I'm at this show in Tampa, and I remember there was a couple years ago, there was this guy, I believe his name is Joe. He's a Robin Joe Show, Michael Romero Show fan. He and his wife came to the show. And so then I don't know that he's going to be there, but he, I guess it was Instagram or tagged me in some photo on one of these sites. Packed house, Rob, you know, a picture of... from his seat to the stage, you know, looking forward to seeing your set or something like that.
So you know he's out there.
I do.
Okay.
So on stage, I'm like, "Oh, that's the guy. It looks like him, right?" From what I can remember. And then it's not the table right in front of me, but right to my right, that table. And the stairs, when you walk off, you walk right past that table. So I get done with my set. I walk by. I put my arm around the guy. I go, "Great to see you again." Afterwards, the guy and his wife come to see me. Different couple.
Oh, it's not,
yes,
not the right guy.
It's not the right guy. And then I looked at the picture again. It was from the other side of the stage. So I don't know if this guy's wife thinks that I'm saying to his guy, her husband, "Good to see you again."
He probably thought you were being hilarious.
Maybe, but it was just so. Yeah.
Now, did you tell, does this guy, the real guy, know that story?
I don't know. He's just hearing it now. But his wife said that I was funnier this time, that I was too dirty last time. So.
Yeah, that's, I don't like hearing that.
Yeah, he even said that. I don't think he needed to say that.
But. Yeah, when people say I was funnier, you were funnier this time, that's not a compliment.
No.
It really means I didn't think you were funny the last time.
So there's a server there that had bought my shirt last time. So I guess she's a big fan.
Okay.
So we're talking one night. I forget how food came up, but she's telling me about how she makes this kale with coconut. She sautés it.
God.
And I guess I acted like that was interesting.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Right.
You can't act bored. Like, "Oh, yeah," because I would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
You're just being polite.
Being polite. She hits him on Facebook, messages me. "Hey, I'm not going to be there tonight, but I made some kale and coconut. I put it in the refrigerator in the green room." So she's not working, but she came in. She made that.
Oh, man.
Right. And now I'm like, I don't want to eat this.
You didn't want to eat it?
Well, first of all, if I don't know somebody.
It sounds horrible.
It does.
Kale and coconut.
Right.
All
right. But if somebody, I don't know somebody, I don't really want to eat their food, like in a container, unless it's like a brownie or a cookie, I'll get past it. But just, so then I thought, well, what do I do? So I ordered whatever I ordered. The irony is this. that I've been missing. I felt like I needed vegetables, and then the kitchen screwed up, and they forgot my meal, and all that was there was just the chicken breast and the fries and not the broccoli. So I was actually could have used those vegetables,
yeah.
But I just took the container out. I took some off, put it on my plate, and then acted like, and then just had them clean the plate up. So it looked like I took some. And then she messaged me, you know, how was it? I go, it was so yummy or something.
Oh, man. Why wouldn't you have just tasted it?
I don't. Well, then for what?
To see if it was good.
But yeah, I'm still going to lie and say it's yummy, even if I.
That's fine. But for I definitely would have tasted it.
Robbie?
What would you have done? Yeah. Robbie?
Curiosity. I would have tried it, I think.
By the way, kale sucks, right?
Well, why are you tasting it then?
Because one time,
she's a very nice girl, though. So.
This is my previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-wife took kale, put olive oil on it, and put it on a baking sheet and made kale chips. Basically, you take all the nutrients
yes,
out of it.
Yes, of course.
That was actually good. Maybe it was like that.
No, it was sauteed, because she described the cooking.
Oh, it was like a whole leaf?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, it didn't look appetizing.
Well, you're in trouble because if she's a fan, she's hearing this.
Well, I apologize, but it was very nice of you. As a matter of fact, when I went to get paid and I just said the manager, great staff, he goes, yeah, I heard about the one thing with the... Like, he knew, like she brought in food.
Oh, he knew about
and
it.
He was like, yeah, she was all excited about that, and so...
Well, this is a bad idea.
That I'm saying this?
Yeah, you shouldn't be saying this.
Oh. No, she means well. She's a very nice person.
I don't think she's going to like
you. I don't know if she listens.
But if she does.
All right.
By the way, you don't know. Do you ever plan on playing that club again?
Yes.
So if you go down there, you're going to immediately know whether or not she listened.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, no, we're Facebook friends. I'm going to know in a week.
Oh, she's going to be like, listen, if you didn't want to try it, you should have just told me.
There's going to be a video of her burning my T-shirt.
Yeah. It's not. I'm not saying you're not funny, but that was unkind. Yeah, it could get ugly.
All right. Well, I decided to not bonus show.
By the way, I would
main show it, and now
I would have tried. 100%, I would have tried.
Would the chat have tried it? I mean, really, kale and coconut that's made by somebody you don't know in a Tupperware container in a refrigerator. It's cold.
There's a girl, a lady that works for me. I say girl. She's older than me.
Right.
She's the nicest lady in the whole world. Okay. If she's listening, her name's Kat. She she works for me. She's awesome.
Okay.
Her husband, who is apparently an artist, he's a musician, he's very talented apparently, he painted a picture, is the worst picture I ever saw, okay? She put it up in her cubicle, okay? So I start making fun of it.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm like, is that, because, you know, in the next cubicle over, the other girl has pictures of her small children's pictures. I go, which one's better, you know? Just out of curiosity, do you think that's good? Just shitting on it, because she's so nice, I'm just having fun with her, whatever. I came in on Monday, the picture's down. By the way, it's like a hole on canvas. It's like a real pit. Yeah, she took it down.
Well,
I feel kind of bad.
Yeah, you should feel bad. Let's.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Kat.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this. Let's come back and we'll talk about in real time a joke somebody sent me on Instagram. They want me to know if it's funny.
Okay.
Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not, actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Next performance, April 11th at the Bright Box Theater, Winchester. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This guy's a nice guy. He's comes to our murder mysteries. He's very active on social media. I don't believe so.
Okay. What's his name? Can you say it?
No, I'm not going to do that. No. Last time I...
Well, we'll be able to see it because it's on...
No, it's in direct message.
Oh, God. Okay.
Slide into my DMs. I didn't respond yet, but he said, hey, can I ask your advice on a joke I wrote?
Well, if he's asking advice, I would respond, are you trying to do comedy, before I even said what I thought about the joke.
Okay. Well, I said, shoot. Let me see, because he just literally...
Oh, it's happening.
He just responded. Well, I just saw it. At 6 p.m., because at 11:07 he sent it. I didn't respond. At 6 p.m., he goes, it's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, God.
All right, here it is. I'm reading word for word. I've been thinking a lot about suicide recently.
Off to a good start.
So much when I heard about the Wuhan virus, I exclusively switched my diet to Chinese food. No, I am kidding. I'm actually only ordering Italian at the moment.
I don't get it.
He's saying that in China, you're getting the coronavirus. And
what's the Wuhan
virus? That's another phrase for it, right?
Is it?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, all right. By the way, why wouldn't you just say, stop, why wouldn't you just say coronavirus? The name people know.
Yep.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. Say it again.
I'm thinking a lot about suicide recently.
Right?
So much when I heard about the Wuhan virus, I exclusively switched my diet to Chinese food. No, I am kidding. I'm actually only ordering Italian at the moment.
I don't understand it. Do you? The Italian part?
I'm saying because in Italy, that's where the huge outbreak is.
Okay, I got it. But first of all, he's using a name that I've never heard of. And by the way,
I've seen it on Twitter. There was a thing about it's racist to say that or not.
I'm not saying that it's not a name for it. I'm saying I have never heard of it. Right. Robbie, have you?
I said might work as a tweet, not on stage, probably.
Robbie, have you heard of Wuhan?
Yes, I had heard that term before.
All right.
Look what Matt Colby wrote in chat.
I'm not reading that.
Can you read it, please?
No.
This is a nice guy. I'm just, the last time this happened, it was the Mike Fanasso situation. Probably still repercussions from that 8 years later.
If it was that person, Rob would say, right?
It's not, it was what person? Are they saying on?
Oh, Dr. Gill? No, it's
no,
not.
No, 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 no.
Dr.
No.
Gill
is. No,
he said. No. He said rhymes with Dr. Dill.
No, no. Dr. Gill would. I would say that. I would bring him on. He'd come on the show and
he
do
would
his,
defend it.
Yeah. No, he would do his new set for us. I mean, he's already done it once.
So that's a bad joke and a bad tweet.
All right, I'm gonna let him know. Okay.
But tell him I'm sure he's a nice guy. Just tell him to change everything about it. The subject matter, the punchline, the setup, everything changes.
Rob, tell him it's so yummy.
Okay.
What's it called? The hoo-ha virus? Isn't that
Wuhan.
Isn't that a euphemism for a woman's vagina?
Look, what do I know?
Tell him to change it to Wu-Tang virus.
Yep. Well, we try. We do our best. How often has that ever been funny when somebody says, can I... shoot a joke, or can I throw a joke or premise at you?
Honest truth. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anything funny when somebody said that.
Yep, no.
Not one time. Never.
Not if it's from a comic.
No,
like,
no, no.
That's different. But yeah,
well,
it's unsolicited.
I've never had it from a comic even. Because, like, the funniest people I know, actually, that's not true. You've run premises by me.
Premise,
that have been funny.
Yeah. But not the joke. So,
but yeah, no, you're right. So there is a level. So I'm not telling the truth.
But we have a different relationship.
Yeah, but
than the average. Even
if
just
somebody
two
is entering comedy and they say, "Tell me if this is funny," I've never one time thought something was funny.
Well, I just told her that we're talking about it on the show. So.
By the way, you know my son did stand up. Do you know that, James?
When?
Okay, I'm going to tell the story briefly, and then we got to get out of here.
Robbie has a big night tonight, Bachelor finale.
Yes, Robbie said to cut the show short so he could watch the Bachelor finale. No lie.
That's not the only reason.
Oh, also Better Call Saul. Sorry about that. Sorry, two shows.
No, I said it's already Tuesday. I need time to get the show out this week.
James has a film class, and this premise was where he was a comic who bombed on stage. So he wanted me to write him enough material that represented itself as a joke, but where he would bomb.
Okay, this is interesting.
So I did. I took an old premise and I gave it to him because he's going to bomb no matter what.
Yeah.
And so he gets on there and was over the top and he did that material. And you know Dark Mark, right? What's his real name? Mark Joyner, I think?
Yes.
He's the one who got him on stage for me. He said he did well. He was trying to bomb.
Wow.
So anyway, it's kind of
the
fun.
The Robinsons just have it.
I don't know, man. I'd be interested. He might be being nice. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to see it. There's a video of it.
I look forward to this.
So yeah, we'll address it.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else coming up? I'll be heading to Toledo, Ohio this week. Back with Koechner. Anything else exciting?
Yeah, I'll be on 98 Rock on Monday. Big, big, big announcement.
Ooh, yeah. We talk about it a little bit on the bonus show. But, yeah, something's brewing for the murder mystery. Big month, April, coming up. We got a little break. April 11th, Bright Box Theater. Hit Me 90s one more time. April 25th, brand new venue, Havre de Grace, up north of Baltimore.
Yeah, big-ass room.
Yeah, back to the 80s. And then April 30th, the DC Improv debut of Love and Marriage and Murder, DieLaughingProductions.com. Thank you, guys. Robbie, enjoy The Bachelor, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.